Welcome to today's deep dive. Imagine looking at a massive corporate franchise, right? Like thousands of branches, but the regional managers are just completely crushed under the weight of overseeing far too many stores.
Yeah, or they have like zero actual decision-making power.
Exactly. Nothing gets fixed, nobody gets hired. It's a mess.
Right, which was actually the reality for South Africa's education system right up until about 2013.
And that is our mission for you listening today. We are unpacking a specific 2013 policy document from their Department of Basic Education to see how a government tries to fix systemic inequality by, totally rewiring its middle management.
It really is a fascinating document, and it's surprisingly blunt about the baseline chaos they were dealing with.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it specifically calls out these gross and unacceptable disparities between high and low achieving districts, particularly in rural areas that were historically marginalized by apartheid.
Because those districts were, well, they were basically set up to fail, right?
Yeah, they managed these just unwieldy numbers of schools, but lacked any real delegated authority to act.
Which is wild, because usually we think of middle management as like the cause of bureaucratic paralysis, not the victims of it.
Right, but imagine a rural school's roof collapses or a teacher suddenly quits.
The district office couldn't just step in and fix it.
No, they had to petition the provincial head office for everything. It created what the document literally calls intolerable bureaucratic delays.
So by the time a decision actually trickles down.
The students are the ones paying the price. Yeah.
So how do you even begin to cure that kind of paralysis?
Well, the government didn't just ask for better management. They introduced strict mathematical caps on the size of these districts.
Okay, wait, like how strict are we talking?
So a circuit, which is the smallest administrative unit, is restricted to managing between 15 and 30 schools, usually averaging around 25.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then an education district manages 5 to 10 of those circuits, maxing out at absolutely no more than 300 schools.
I love that. It's basically enforcing a strict teacher-to-student ratio, but for government bureaucrats.
That is a really great way to look at it. Dismantling those mega districts forces a much more manageable span of control.
So the officials actually have the physical time to travel to their schools.
Exactly. It guarantees they have the bandwidth to monitor performance and provide curriculum support rather than just drowning in paperwork back at a central office.
And they aligned the boundaries with local municipalities too, didn't they?
They did, but only if it made what they called educational sense. Efficiency couldn't override actual educational needs.
Okay, so you cap the district at 300 schools. The officials finally have time to visit them.
Right.
But wait, if they get there and find that collapsed roof we mentioned, and they still have to call the province, capping the size didn't actually fix the bottleneck.
You hit the nail on the head. Resizing is totally useless without authority. So the policy finally granted district directors true delegated power.
Meaning they could actually do things on their own.
Yes. They could suddenly hire staff, fire underperformers, and even procure goods locally up to half a million rand without asking permission.
Oh, wow, that's a huge shift.
And they changed the staffing model too, which is the part I find most profound. They didn't just give every district the exact same headcount. They added mathematical equity weights.
Right. A district gets up to 10% more posts if their schools are highly remote, which they defined as an average of 121 kilometers away.
Yeah.
So mechanically, I assume that means they're using that extra headcount to hire like more circuit managers or maybe dedicated drivers to cross those massive distances.
That is the mechanical fix, yes.
Yeah.
Geography acts as a physical barrier to education, so you need more human resources simply to cover the terrain.
And they applied a similar logic for socioeconomics.
They did. Districts get a 5% staffing boost if over 70% of their schools are no-fee schools.
And here's where I was getting so curious. Like, how does a bureaucracy mathematically calculate poverty for a formula like that? I figured it was tied to local tax brackets or census data.
No, they tie it directly to school fees. In South Africa, the poorest communities are designated as no-fee schools.
Oh, I see.
Using that metric officially shifts the entire system from equal treatment to equitable treatment.
Because impoverished schools require a higher baseline of resources, like social workers or extra support staff.
Exactly. Just to reach the exact same level of educational output as a wealthy district.
What we are really looking at here, for you listening is a masterclass in organizational design.
Absolutely. It proves that decentralizing power and standardizing your span of control can really resuscitate a failing system.
Provided you actually put the resources where the problems are.
Right. It is a structural acknowledgement that fairness doesn't mean giving everyone the exact same thing.
It means giving them what they need to function. Which leaves us with something to really chew on.
Oh, definitely.
This policy uses mathematical weights for distance and poverty to automatically trigger more government staff. Could we apply similar equity algorithms to other public services?
Like healthcare systems or urban planning frameworks?
Exactly. Imagine a system where geography and socioeconomics automatically allocate extra resources before a community even has to ask.
It's a powerful thought.
If targeted math can fix broken franchise managers, just think about what other broken systems it could help repair.